embryology, one of the arguments for evolution that is completely outdated, completely disproved. They just disproved it in the 1920s. So you see, we're still hearing about it. And come on, my mother was born in 1920, you know? It was a long, long time ago. The picture shows the development and or some development of something, and they begin to see that they were trying to compare the human embryo with animal embryos. And the concept is that checking the growth of the human embryo, you can begin to see it passing through its stages of evolution. So evolutionists have taught for over a century that as an embryo develops, it passes through stages that mimic an evolutionary sequence. In other words, in a few weeks, an unborn human repeats stages that supposedly took millions of years for mankind. A well-known example of this ridiculous teaching is that embryos of mammals have gill slits because mammals supposedly evolved from fish. Yes, that's faulty logic. Embryonic tissues that resemble gill slits have nothing to do with breathing. They are neither gills nor slits. Oops. like grape nuts. Neither grapes nor nuts. Instead, those embryonic tissues develop into parts of the face, bones of the middle ear, and endocrine glands. Embryologists no longer consider the superficial similarities between a few embryos and the adult forms of simpler animals as evidence for evolution. Here's some quotes. This generalization was originally called the biogenic law by Haeckel and is often stated as ontology, meaning the development of an embryo, recapitulates or repeats phylogeny or evolution. This crude interpretation of embryological sequences will not stand close examination, however. Its shortcomings have been almost universally pointed out by modern authors, but the idea still has a prominent place in biological mythology. And this in a book entitled The Process of Evolution. So this is an evolutionist decrying this teaching. In a book called Life, an Introduction to Biology, it is now firmly established that ontogeny does not repeat phylogeny. And the italics there emphasize the words, and that was in the original. Again, the enthusiasm of the German zoologist Ernst Haeckel, however, led to an erroneous and unfortunate exaggeration of the information which embryology could provide. This was known as the biogenic law and claimed that embryology was a recapitulation of evolution, or that during its embryonic development, an animal recapitulated the evolutionary history of its species. Again, embryos and ancestors, the theory of recapitulation has had a great and, while it lasted, regrettable influence on the progress of embryology. In other words, it was a false start, and the study of embryos itself has been hurt from this. Moreover, the biogenic law has become so deeply rooted in biological thought that it cannot be weeded out in spite of it having been demonstrated to be wrong by numerous subsequent scholars. Surely the biogenic law is as dead as a doornail. that published in the American Scientist. The theory, and here it gets a little more specific, the theory of recapitulation was destroyed in 1921 by Professor Walter Garstang in a famous paper. Since then, no respectable biologist has ever used the theory of recapitulation because it was utterly unsound, created by a Nazi-like preacher named Haeckel. Ernst Haeckel, by deliberately falsifying his drawings, originated and popularized this incorrect but widespread belief. Many modern textbooks continue to spread this false idea as evidence of evolution. You see how bereft they are of strong evidence. That they have to go back to something that was completely disproved by fellow scientists in 1921. Haeckel, who in 1868 advanced this biogenetic law, was quickly adopted in textbooks and encyclopedias worldwide, distorted his data. That is, he faked it. Thompson explains, a natural law can only be established as an induction from facts. Haeckel was, of course, unable to do this. What he did was to arrange existing forms of animal life in a series proceeding from the simple to the complex, intercalating or inserting imaginary entities where discontinuity existed, and then giving the embryonic phases names corresponding to the stages of his so-called evolutionary series. Cases in which this parallelism did not exist were dealt with by the simple expedient of saying that the embryological development had been falsified. When the convergence of embryos was not entirely satisfactory, Haeckel altered the illustrations of them to fit his theory. The alterations were slight but significant. The biogenetic law as a proof of evolution is valueless. To support his case, Haeckel, began to fake evidence. Charged with fraud by five professors and convicted by a university court at Jena, he agreed that a small percentage of his embryonic drawings were forgeries. He was merely filling in and reconstructing the missing links when the evidence was thin. And he claimed unblushingly that hundreds of the best observers and biologists lie under the same charge. So the whole foundation here of scientific expertise laid waste by this man. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, meaning that in the course of its development, an embryo recapitulates the evolutionary history of its series, of its species. This idea was fathered by Ernst Haeckel, a German biologist who was so convinced that he had solved the riddle of life's unfolding that he doctored and faked his drawings of embryonic stages to prove his point. The German scientist, Wilhelm Hiss, accused Haeckel of shocking dishonesty in repeating the same picture several times to show the similarity among vertebrates at early embryonic stages in several plates of Haeckel's book. This is Stephen Jay Gould in Ontology and so on. It looks like it's turning out to be one of the most famous fakes in biology. When we compare Haeckel's drawings of a young echidna embryo with the original, we find that he removed the limbs. And I said, see figure one, but I didn't have room to include figure one in there. This cut was selective, applying only to the young stage. It was also systematic because he did it to other species in the picture. Its intent is to make the young embryos look more alike than they do in real life. Question of intent. When is a schematic illustration a fraud? In the book of Nature, in the magazine, I guess. Another point to emerge from this study is the considerable inaccuracy of Haeckel's famous figures. These drawings are still widely reproduced in textbooks and review articles and continue to exert a significant influence on the development of ideas in the field. So, again, we are laughed at, we are ridiculed, and the fact is they had to fake their evidence. But they're so undiscerning that they keep repeating it over and over and over again. Amen? Yes?
One of the interesting things to me, when I was growing up, my father had this great big, it was 18 books or something. I forget what it was, but it was natural history or something. It was
Yes. So unfortunately, when you are starting out in science, the beginning books say this is the way it is. Then as you get a little more advanced, they say this is usually the way it is. And then when you get a little more advanced, they say often we find this is the case. And then in the advanced graduate school stuff, they say this guy and that guy found this to be true. And that's it. So to the beginner, they indoctrinate them in believing this as true, so that when they grow into the work, they don't depart from that which they indoctrinated in the beginning. So embryology mimicking evolution is bunk.